Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. Today is a day of purpose. Why am I here? That is a question that has been in the minds of people since probably the very first thought people had. We need a purpose. We need to know why. Life has to be about something bigger and greater than just simply getting through until. We have to have a purpose. We have to have a reason to live. It's the core of who we are. And if you look into all the different ways of looking at how we as human beings are made up as people, they all boil down to our purpose. Our personality is specific. Our traits are specific. Our skills, the things that we do wonderfully and the things that we struggle with, those are all part of who we are, and they all come together to create a life of purpose. I love what T.D. Jakes says. T.D. Jakes says, God was so intentional about you being on this planet that he did not care what it took. In order for you to come into existence, you had to exist. It wasn't a maybe. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't just some kind of random twist of fate. You are here for a very specific reason. Two people, they may be, you know, the two most important people in your life. Some of us have been blessed to have amazing parents. And other people, you know, Kathy, my wife, she never actually knew her birth mom or birth father. She did find her birth family after her birth mom had passed, but you know, she never even got a chance to meet her, and still has not found the gentleman that was her birth father. And that doesn't take away at all from her mom and for how wonderfully she raised her and things like that. But in order for her amazingness to be here on this planet, it was because two people at a very specific moment in time got together, because that was orchestrated. That's not an accident. And that's what makes up our DNA. That DNA comes together to create you. And then you are here to live a life of purpose. So some of you, you've got it nailed. You're like, I have got this. I know what my purpose is in life. Others of you, you struggle with that. There's a couple of different ways we can struggle. Sometimes we struggle because we don't know what our purpose is. And other times we struggle because we're living a purpose that was given to us, sometimes even thrust upon us by others in our life. And it is absolutely imperative that we discover the core and the essence of who we are, and we live our life of purpose. Now, to help me be able to do this today, I'm joined by an amazing man. His name's Reese Thomas, and he's going to talk to us about his book, Discover Your Purpose. It's the Discover Your Purpose book at discoveryourpurpose.com, so that you too can know what your purpose is.
Welcome, Reese Thomas. Hi, Reese. How are you doing today?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing great.
I really appreciate you joining us here today. I know you've got an amazing book called Discover Your Purpose. And talk to us just a little bit about you and how you discovered your purpose.
Well, like most people, I figured that you got to have one, you got to have a job, you got to do something in the world. And I had kind of made up my mind as a kid growing up in America and in the Northeast, and guys are supposed to be successful businessmen and hard workers. And so I set about working really hard, and my industry was the tennis industry, and I at a very young age got in charge of a large facility, and then spoke for the tennis industry, and then got a big country club job, and did all the things that a career-minded tennis professional or anybody in the tennis industry would do, and I was sort of merrily going along my way, making very good money and being very successful at what I did, and I don't know if you or any of your people listening found that somewhere in my mid-30s, I started feeling like there was something missing in my life. And I was working really hard. I was having the level of success that I thought I should have, maybe a little bit less. But I was making very good money and had a house in the suburbs and family and all of those things. And yet I felt like there was something missing. And I felt like I was a bit misunderstood at my work. And I was sort of wondering when does it all come together? And I also was having, even though I was a black belt in the martial arts, and I was playing tennis at a very high level, and conditioning and eating well and all of those sort of things, I was having physical ailments and issues that the doctors couldn't really resolve, and so I went and I looked at alternative medicine, and I found that there was a practitioner in relatively close to me who was an energy medicine practitioner, which is sort of like the premier of all of the healing modalities. And when I went and started working with her, I realized that there was all sorts of things I had no idea about in my life, in my body, in my energy, And eventually I wanted to find out more, because she was indicating that all of my issues were based on some disconnection I had in myself. And I was like, what do you mean a disconnection in myself? I wake up every morning, I go to work, and I spend time, I go on vacations, and I do these things. Isn't that what everybody does? And what I discovered by doing this work and then eventually getting trained in energy medicine and then for the past 15 years running my own energy medicine school, is that I had no idea who I was. And when I discovered who I wasn't that guy that can go to work every day and work 10 hours a day and do these things and do the same thing over and over and over again. I found that I'm more of a very creative guy, and that other person that I was trying to be was who I thought I was supposed to be rather than who I really was. And who I really was a much more creative, much more spiritual-based, much more dreamer-like type of person. And when I shifted that, my energy changed, my health changed, my relationships changed, I certainly changed my work and the type of work I do in the world. So discovering my purpose was sort of, and I would say that 98% of the people that come into my program come in because, and we do about 125 students a year in my program up in the Boston area, and they come in because they feel like there's something missing in their life and they just can't put their finger on it. And when they come in and do the work and realize that what's been missing in their life the whole time was them, it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I like that phrase, what's been missing in your life is you. You know, I mean, often we put who are we going to serve in front of who are we.
Right. And not knowing who you are, you're going to serve. Because I was serving hundreds and hundreds of people. I was speaking and I was working. I had worked with thousands of clients, both juniors, adults. I ran a huge junior competitive program. And I had worked with thousands. I was in the service business, and I was enjoying what I did. It was great. Being a top tennis pro is fun. Being a lower level tennis pro is not as fun. It's a lot of work. But it was. I mean, being a top pro with a lot of pros underneath me, and it was really, in my 20s and 30s, that was just fantastic. But not knowing that was the person that I thought I should be. Which is what we all do. We grow up thinking men should be this, women should be this. This is the way my parents made money, or how they didn't make money, or I'm going to do it this way or that way. And we make up our minds as to who we are based on who we think we should be or who our parents weren't, we're going to be that, rather than really feeling deep inside of us, because you can never really know your life purpose by thinking it. You have to feel it inside. And when you feel it inside, yeah, it gives you energy and passion and drive and focus and courage to actually stand up and be that unique person. But, you know, without knowing, we tend to live sort of what I call trial and error lives, where at some point we realize, and usually it's around in the 40s or 50s, where you realize, I can't make another mistake on, you know, just trying out who I ought to be, because, you know, each time you try something out, it's about a 5 or 10 year period to figure out whether it works or not. And at some point you really want to, you realize, boy, what if I found out who I was and what I really wanted and what I'm really inspired to do, and then go do that rather than, I hope this is the thing. I hope this is the person. I hope, you know, I hope this is the right wheatgrass I'm eating to make me healthy. So that's really where I came from. And then of course, learning about energy medicine and understanding that we all have this core quality of energy within us that we can tap at any time if we know what it sounds like, feels like, tastes like.
I was just looking at some notes here that I made as I was looking through your book and stuff, and I love what you said here about aligning your decisions with your deepest self so that your life is fulfilling, productive, and full of joy. I mean, doesn't that really sound like what everybody wants their life to be like?
It totally is, and ultimately that is your life purpose. You know, it's a language issue that when we say life purpose, what comes up in people's minds is their job. So I talk to people and I'll say, so are you living your life purpose? And they'll say, no, I'm doing a job right now. Well, that is not necessarily, the same thing. The purpose that we have in our lives is how we inspire people. And sometimes people live their life purpose a lot more when they're not working, because they're actually not trying to be somebody that fits into a certain mold. And they're more likely to be out spending more time with friends, family, being more themselves. Living your life purpose does have the component. There's an internal purpose that we have, which is knowing this deeper sort of quality within us that we love, and we've always loved, and it's been that quality ever since we were a little kid. That when we woke up in the morning when we were little kids, we didn't wake up going, well, I guess I've got to do this or that to be a good person. And you woke up and you went, wow, I'm back. What am I going to do today? And you were thrilled to be you. And there's that quality. That's that inner person that you have always loved and have learned usually to shut up a little bit or shut down or hide from other people. And then we have an external purpose, which is to take that inner purpose and express it in every area of our lives. So our external purpose in our careers, in our families, and in our sort of our external, what we're going to do to be healthy, all are ultimately the same thing. And if you don't know what that thing is, like we said, we end up doing a lot of trial and error. And my book is about saving you a lot of time on that.
How would you like to know positively what your purpose is and how to live to the fullest extent of you, to be the best you can be? That's what Discover Your Purpose can and will do for you. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to be back here with Rhys to talk more about how to discover your purpose here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maish Seibel, a leading authority on women's wellness and menopause. When my wife Sharon had her ovaries removed to prevent cancer, she was immediately thrown into early menopause. She needed estrogen to relieve her symptoms, but her doctors weren't sure if it was safe or if it would cause breast cancer. I had to know the truth. After years of research, I discovered there was an estrogen window, a window of opportunity to take estrogen that lowers disease risk and increases estrogen's effectiveness on symptoms. I realize there are millions of other women who are also confused and fearful of taking estrogen. That's why I wrote The Estrogen Window, which just hit number one bestseller status on Amazon. Find out what women are so excited about. Order your copy now at estrogenwindowbook.com.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. I'm here with Rhys Thomas, and we are talking today to help you discover your purpose. You want to live your life with a purpose so that you can fulfill all that you were meant to be and do the things in this world that you were put here to do.
So the book is called Discover Your Purpose, and it outlines what you call the Rhys Method Life Purpose Profile System. So let's dive really into this. Talk to us about the Life Purpose Profile System.
Well, I learned when I was in energy medicine that there was a healing modality developed by a couple of guys, Wilhelm Reich and Alexander Lowen, and they were psychiatrists back in the 20s, and they actually noticed that people went into panic or distress or went into mental institutions where they worked in five sort of unique ways. And they noticed something which is really maybe one of the greatest discoveries of all time, which has still, other than in my book, has not been sort of brought out. They discovered that there were actually five very specific body types that went along with these five ways of people going into panic or what they called defense. And of course they were talking about it at the extreme level, but I learned it as an understanding that we all go into these defensive ways of being, where we either get very scared and then have a lot of anxiety, or we feel overwhelmed and sort of like in the poor me, like you feel helpless at times. You feel like you can't say no in your life. You know, these are all sort of these defenses. You get kind of resentful that you have to do everything in your life, and that's another defense. And then there's the person who has to do it perfectly because no matter how well I do it, it's never good enough. And that's what we call a defense. And then there are people that are, if they aren't in control of every possible thing, they feel like a failure. So there's these five ways that we all, try to manipulate, control, feel bad about ourselves, try to avoid things, get scared. All of these things I noticed in people, and I worked with in my clients and said, in each person had a different piece of that, but they noticed that there were very specific qualities within people, and they said that there were these five ways that people kind of went crazy, and these are the five ways you get them out of being crazy. And then I looked at that and I said, well, if those are five real things, then those aren't just behavioral. And they sort of dealt with it a little bit more from a behavioral standpoint, that trauma happens to you when you're young and then you create this problem. And I discovered that these qualities are actually have a much lighter side. There's this person that has a lot of anxiety is also a person who is incredibly creative. And the person that is really sort of overwhelmed by life and incredibly soft and very gentle and sensitive, overly sensitive, is the one that is the most soft and loving and gentle souls in the world that are there to love people. And then the people that are can never say no and always are helping and never getting anything for themselves. Well, they have this quality of really being an amazing team player that holds families and businesses and everything together. They're the ones who commit to making sure everybody is supported in a business and in a relationship. And then there are people that are those perfectionists that are really tough on themselves and everybody else around them. But those people are the ones who are really able to achieve in the world and get focused and they succeed very well in school and often become, you know, our highest trained professionals because they are meticulous in how they are able to learn. And then there are the ones that you know, have to be in control of everything and are and tend to be a little bit pushy and bossy and aggressive when they're in their defense. But in their core, they are charming and they are our natural born leaders. They stand up and people want to follow them. They've got huge energy. And so I found that there were five kinds of people, which we all know. We all know people that are highly creative and not always present in their body. We know people that are super soft and super sensitive and talk quietly and slowly and they always look deep in your eyes and they love to have tea with you. And we know that there are people that are just big, warm, smiling, you know, friendly, hugging type of people that are happy to help you out and, you know, bring you a casserole when you're sick or do something, you know, be there for you and they're calling you up and just saying, hey, how's it going? And they're friendly and they're incredibly warm, caretaking type of people. And then we all know that, you know, we go to doctors or professionals who we know are going to do all the due diligence, all of the work, they will be doing the right thing because they are they're studiers of the world. And they are the achievers in life. They really become successful through their ability to be the highest achievers in the world. And then we know the people that are the leaders, and they are they're powerful and loud sometimes, but they speak and they're charismatic, and sometimes they're charismatic and then scary, and then other times they are strong people that are great athletes and know how to win, and they are probably the most people, you know, there are more of those on the planet than any other of the profiles, and so it's, you know, we do have a problem on the planet, more chiefs, not enough Indians, but there are a lot of that, there's a lot of that energy on the planet, and these are the people that that are going to, you know, sort of be the pioneers. They're going to step forward. They're going to do something. They're going to fight for things. They're going to be the Martin Luther Kings. You know, they're going to be the ones that are out there speaking and inspiring people to change. So we all know those five kinds of people, and we can see them at every level. There are people that are housewives, house husbands that have all of those different qualities. Each person there, and what I found was that these are human qualities rather than male or female qualities. And so one of the first things that I recognized in doing this work with these five profiles is that there's an even number of men and women that have them. And so the idea that there are more achieving and leadership men in the world than there are women is just a lie. It's just a societal choice and pressure, you know. Whereas, and likewise, there are just as many men who are the soft, sort of feeling and caretaking people. But if you grow up like I did, and I was the creative one, which nobody really wants to be, and so I was the super creative one that wasn't always present, was always dreaming. I grew up in a society and a culture and a family where what you did, if you were good and you did it and you worked hard, and you know that got more attention. And so I figured out, well, that's what guys do. And it wasn't until I was having this sort of inner crisis and feeling like a fake in my life, in my late 30s, that I then discovered that, oh yeah, you really need to find out who you are as early as you possibly can, so that the choices you make going forward in your life change.
And so how do you discover which one of these five you are? Are you creative, sensitive, friendly, a studier, or a leader? How do you discover which one of those you truly are?
Well, in the book there is a profile assessment, and you can take that. It's a short period of time. You can take the profile assessment, and I mean obviously I talk about each of these in depth and give you all sorts of exercises within the book to sort of discover those qualities, because as I say those things, as I said those five qualities, there are a lot of people that are listening and saying, oh, well, I'm definitely this one, and I can tell you, you know, without a shadow of a fear that I'm going to be off base, you're at least half right, but you may not be all right. And so we all have qualities that we've exhibited for a lot of time in our lives, but often they are the safest qualities. And the safest qualities mean that often the person that we share in the world is the one that if it gets rejected, we're okay with that, because we have to learn to be rejected in this world, because there's nobody in the world that really wants you to be who you are. They want you to be who they want you to be, and so you're always in this struggle in life between being who you truly are, which is going to be different than everybody else out in the world. You have a unique purpose, and trying to be what other people would like you to be, and so when we're working with these profiles, you're going to notice that there's certain things that you do, and then there's certain things you hide about yourself. And what this book is about is enforcing the things and strengthening the things that you already do if they are good for you and they support you, but recognizing that they don't. You feel like there's something missing, because what's missing is the wholeness of you. That's sort of like the other pieces of it. I, of course, was a good achiever. I've been a good achiever. I wrote my book. I run a big school. I do these things. So the fact that I tried to be an achiever in my life wasn't a trait that I didn't have, but it wasn't my best trait. It wasn't what made me the most happy, and it wasn't the thing that people really needed from me, because people in the world come to you, and the law of attraction works. People come to you for your greatest gift. If you think your greatest gift, like I thought my greatest gift was teaching people how to, you know, play better and do better and succeed more, and I thought that was for sure my life purpose. And I did well with it, but it wasn't until I started realizing that I had all these dreams and these ideas, and I could see energy, and I could see the soul in people, and I could, you know, I had all these other skills that I was like, nobody wants to hear that crap. And then, as I started sharing that, I went to energy medicine school, and that sort of gave me a language for it. I started realizing that that's the only thing people ever wanted to hear from me. So understanding, you know, knowing what kind of career you need to have really comes down to, understanding what's my deeper message. You know, knowing, like you read that quote, knowing your deepest sense of purpose, that deepest sense of self, which is a feeling within you, and then letting that be the primary decision maker that your mind then says, okay, if that's true, what do I do now? Where to from here if this is the truth? Then your choices are very different than, okay, I could do anything, which, by the way, is one of the worst things we're ever taught. We're taught as children, you know, especially these days with the internet, and you can see an infinite number of things. We're told by our parents that you can become anything you want to become. And the truth is you can't. You can only become one thing. And you should have been, and if your parents, weren't so set on you being somebody that they wanted you to be, their job should have been to help you figure that out from day one, because it's not easy to figure out. There's a lot to figuring out, sort of this quality, if you don't have a map. That's why I wrote this book, because it'll give you a direct map to really seeing, oh yeah, that's me, and that is not. Even though I spent a lot of time in one of these other personalities. So there's a lot of people that caretake a lot, other people, they're always there and living for other people, but they're really doing it to be loved rather than because it's their purpose.
It is so easy for us to define ourselves by what we do rather than by who we truly were made to be. Perfect example. I mean, my wife, when she was taking care of her mom, she did a wonderful job taking care of her mom at the end of her life. But, you know, she's not a caretaker at the core of her. At the core of her, the biggest freedom she could get was the ability to get back to being the studier, the researcher that she is. And, you know, sometimes we tend to, you know, poo-poo that because it's so easy for us. You know, we just do it so easily that it's like, well, that can't be my purpose. It can't be that easy, you know?
Truly. Truly. And that's one of the struggles with the life purpose is that built into the word life purpose is like, okay, it's a job and you have to do it and you have to practice it and you have to master it. And truly your life purpose, like you just said, is effortless. Your life purpose is effortless. If your life is an enormous amount of work, what's happening is that you have added on an additional restriction or sort of limitation to your life purpose. And I'm not saying that people that live with life purpose aren't doing a lot of work, but it doesn't feel like work. When someone's in their life purpose, they can work an 80-hour week and they're just totally alive and they're not feeling beaten down or told what to do, or they're just like, that was the greatest week. You know, I got so much done. It was so amazing. And pulling them away from, let's say it's, you know, their life purpose is, you know, they found their life purpose in their work as well. Pulling themselves away from any part of their life is difficult, but you know, your life purpose works 24 hours a day and it works in everything you do. It's your job to figure out how to apply your life purpose to every level of your life, from your career to your relationships to your health.
You see, it's important that we realize that us being the best version of ourselves is in the end also all that we can be. We can do a pretty good job of, you know, faking ourselves out, which is really the only person we're tricking for a while. But really, in truth, when it comes right down to it, all we can be is us, and everything else just really never really quite comes out. We will be right back after these messages here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maish Seibel, a leading authority on women's wellness and menopause. When my wife Sharon had her ovaries removed to prevent cancer, she was immediately thrown into early menopause. She needed estrogen to relieve her symptoms, but her doctors weren't sure if it was safe or if it would cause breast cancer. I had to know the truth. After years of research, I discovered there was an estrogen window, a window of opportunity to take estrogen that lowers disease risk and increases estrogen's effectiveness on symptoms. I realized there are millions of other women who are also confused and fearful of taking estrogen. That's why I wrote The Estrogen Window, which just hit number one bestseller status on Amazon. Find out what women are so excited about. Order your copy now at estrogenwindowbook.com.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. I'm here with Reese Thomas. We're talking about his amazing book, Discover Your Purpose. I'm hoping that you've really caught some good things today that are helping you really truly be able to dig in and really unlock your purpose, the real true who you are, in everything you do. So, Reese, I want to talk in more detail about some of the aspects of this.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to one of the people I was interviewing the other day, and they brought up an interesting point. You know, it's like a billion plus strands of DNA that makes up a person that is absolutely 100% unique to them. Nobody else has that exact strand combination. And yet we so often want to say, I am 100% X, as opposed to the fact that, you know, hey, you do have a creative side or a caring side or a sensitive side. Doesn't mean that you have to be a jerk to everybody because you're a leader, you know?
Right. Right. And the reason that oftentimes the reason leaders are being jerks to people is because they aren't leaders.
Mm.
There's someone who's trying really, really hard to be a leader, and when they're trying really, really hard to be a leader, they're faking. They're a liar. You know, anytime, and that's really what I sort of came to is sort of my sort of coming to Jesus moment, where I just sort of realized that I'd been going about a year and a half, and I realized that as I'm discovering that I'm this other person, I realized that I had, you know, and my children at the time were about 9, 10 years old, and I realized that I had been lying to them about who I was my whole life. I mean, their whole life. And I had actually been showing them how to absolutely not live your life purpose, even though I thought I was showing them what a man should do, and this is what we do, and we provide, and we are successful, and we go to work, and we work all these hours, and we do these things. You know, I'm thinking, that's what a guy does. That's how, you know, that's how I was brought up, and that was, but the truth was that I wasn't showing them this other creative dream side of me at a level that you know, they really needed from me. And it doesn't matter whether it's your children or your spouse or your employees. They all come to you in hopes that you're willing, that you are the courageous one who's willing to stand up and be fully human, your whole humanity, so you can make it safe for them to do it too. But if you're a person who's living in sort of this half person of who you are, in your defense of trying to be somebody that you aren't, and you are absolutely, you know, that's who I am, and that's who you need to see me as, and you're telling your children that, that's why there's a lot of children in the world that become ADD, they become, you know, they have this, the children act out because the children can see the parent as something other than they are pretending to be, and it's too much for them. So it's really important that we figure this out within us, so that we know one number. I mean, if you're just talking about business, and I know that, you know, that your show's The Thriving Entrepreneur, and if you're going to be an entrepreneur, how will you ever know your perfect client if you have no idea who you are? Mm-hmm. And if you knew the five profiles, really knew how they work and recognize that, you know, when we talk about, you know, you say that there's, I don't know how many, 50,000 strands of DNA, there are actually these five people that we know. And if you really started looking at their body types, they are all genetically very different, energetically and genetically very different. Even though, I mean, I know we all share about, they said that 99% of our DNA we share with a sea cucumber, but we have the tiny little bit of DNA difference that we have really makes an enormous difference in the complexity of our lives, and when you realize that each person has this sort of physical life purpose, and these leaders are going to be built with much stronger, more dynamic, more emotional-based bodies, and the achievers are going to be—they're going to be leaner and more, and they process energy in a much more balanced way, and so they kind of sort of stay in it for the long haul. That they're disciplined. They have this body that's very naturally disciplined and strong, but not dynamic, and their emotions are much small. They're much lower. They don't need the to achieve. You have to be able to actually postpone gratification. Where the leaders aren't postponing any gratification, they just want it all now. The achievers are able to really sort of stay with something and realize that we're going to do this business for 10 years and then we're going to sell it and then we're going to make our $1 million rather than let's do it next year. And team players, they have these bodies that are much sort of squarer and solider and they literally have the ability to endure and support and be strong. Like they carry your load for you. They're these strong, you know, people that are big, warm in the middle type of people. And they are literally different kinds of people. And I don't know, you know, I'm not a geneticist, but there are certainly, you know, huge differences in the way these people's bodies function and work. And trying to take, a charismatic leader body that may be playing pro football, and having this huge dynamic strength in them, and then say, well, we're going to have you, we want to train you to be a computer programmer. It's just never going to work. Even though they might be able to do it, they're never going to thrive at that. They need to be knocking people over. And so each of us has a body that uniquely is designed for our purpose. And then we also have what are called spiritual contracts with that body. So that body, or each of our bodies, have a very unique contract. And so there are millions, there's 7.5 billion people on the planet, and there are billions of each of these profiles on the planet that are the human qualities. I mean, if we have a society that doesn't have people that are creative, we never do anything new. If we have a society that doesn't have soft, loving people, we eat each other. If we have a society that doesn't care for each other, and everybody's out for themselves and there's no team players in there, nobody's pulling us together, we're always in battle. If we're a society that's just focused on achievement and getting the most, that is our society, we become incredibly lopsided, and the leaders and the achievers end up running everything because they're the strong ones. We still, with all of the brilliance that we have in the world right now, we still are basically living a survival of the fittest, and the fittest are taking all the pie. And they do it because they don't see the value in the creative people other than just taking, just borrowing their ideas and making money on them. And the deep feelers and the caretakers, they use them sort of as the way they run their businesses. So it's the idea that a healthy culture is going to have both or a healthy government is going to have equal number of creative people, deep feeling people, caretaking people, achieving people, and leadership people who all work together to make sure that no one is looked at as a second-class citizen. No one is looked at as sort of like, well, you're lower because you aren't, if you can't be an achiever or a leader and be strong and win and get a huge paying job, you're really not a helpful, you're not a part of society. Misses the whole process of evolution of humanity's evolution. So this is my biggest purpose is actually, making us more aware that it's been a lot of times the people that have the biggest hearts. Christ's message was a pretty simple one, and it wasn't get all you can and bank it. He didn't say that at all. And that message is actually the essence of what has to pull us together. So learning from these different qualities, making sure that you build a team, and if you have a well-balanced team, you'll have some of each of those, because each of those qualities if you have a business, you have to know how you hire for those qualities, because everybody needs creative people. Caretaking people and feeling people and achievers and leaders. We need them all in their different jobs, and you need to know how to put them in the right job. If you can't put them in the right job, you can't run an effective business. And then secondarily, if you don't know which customer it is coming in, each of those five customers need five completely different things. The charismatic leader needs something that's going to make them passionate. The knowledgeable achiever needs something that's going to make them feel confident that this is going to be a good product going forward. The team player needs a product that makes sure that they can help other people more. The emotional intelligence, the softer people, need a product that helps them relax and have more quiet time. And then the creative person needs a product that is constantly changing and constantly challenging them mentally. So if you know about the five profiles, one, you got to know your piece of it, what you have and what you don't have, so you can hire for what you don't have. But then you also hire a team that works at all levels, and then if you have a team of all five people, then anybody who walks into your business is going to find somebody that they can relate to. And then if you know the client coming in, you know who to have them work with and or how to speak based on their deeper qualities. So that's how I'd use it in business and life.
One more quick break, and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Don't go away. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
The book is called Discover Your Purpose.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
Reese is spelled R-H-Y-S, Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S. And again, like you said, the book is called Discover Your Purpose. Reese, tell us how a person can get the book.
It's easy to get the book. You go to discoveryourpurposebook.com, and you can buy it on that page. You can also buy it at all of the booksellers. It's out now in all the stores, and you can get it on Amazon. But if you go to discoveryourpurposebook.com, you will get the Amazon price. But you'll also get a student membership site. You'll get a keynote speech that I gave about the profiles, so that you'll get a nice video library and some audio as well that will sort of give you a jump start on the book while you're reading it. You'll get some supportive materials.
DiscoverYourPurposeBook.com. You can get the book. So, Reese, we like to leave people with something that they could take action on right now. With all the great information we've given a person, what, other than, of course, going and getting your book, what is something that they could do right now to begin living their life with purpose?
Well, just I think it would be noticing which of those five people you think you probably are. And then really ask yourself, is that the thing? So if you see yourself as like, yeah, I'm the caretaker because I'm the mother, you know, or I'm the caretaker because I'm a nurse, or I'm a, you know, whatever it happens to be. And then that the next step is to ask yourself, do I really have this thing inside of me that I just have to help people all the time? Or is it that, you know, is there another quality within me? Is it that I'm actually really good at what I do, and that's why I help people, because I help them figure things out, which would be more of the achiever. So look at the thing you do the best. Look at the thing you think, you know, whichever one you think you are for right now. It doesn't matter whether you're totally right or not. Notice how you do it. And if you do it from a creative way, you know, you can, let's just use caretaking, because a lot of people are caretakers out there. And if you caretake in a very creative way, and you're always doing it differently every time, you may not be a caretaker. You may be a creative person. You may have that as one of the primary qualities. if you do it in a very gentle, nurturing, one-on-one, loving, gentle way, then you may see that you're that deeper feeler. If you are just caretaking and doing and you're caretaking a lot of things all the time and you're always coming and going and doing and that's all you do, and you're not studying or doing anything else about, you're just, that's it, your whole life is that, then that may be the person that you are, is that caretaker. But you may also be really, really good at it, and you may have studied to be really good at caretaking this person, and you study the best way to do things, and you're very meticulous and organized and structured around it, even though it's all taking care of other people. You may be that achiever. And then if you are caretaking that person because you want to make sure that they're protected, you want to make sure that they have the best chance of making it in the world, and you're going to be there sort of pushing them along to be greater than they are, you may not be the team player. You may be the charismatic leader who's actually, taking that opportunity to support them, but it's also your mission in life is to get them better. So whatever you are doing, whichever one you are, take a look and see how you do it. And that's the beginning of this self sort of awareness of which of these qualities am I really? Because one of those qualities is going to be the one that makes you really happy. And it needs to be expressed in all areas, not just, some people express one of these traits at home and then a different one at work and a different one with their children, a different one. When you know your quality, that's who you are all the time.
Go to discoveryourpurposebook.com and get the book, Discover Your Purpose, so that you can learn to identify your purpose and reconnect with your passions to find your true happiness and fulfillment in life. Reese, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about your book and help us really understand the core of who we are as people.
Well, you're very welcome, Steve. It was a pleasure.
Our purpose always finds us. It's amazing to me because we will go to great lengths to try and hide from our purpose, from the very thing that we're best at. It's so funny because often, and we all do it, so there's no judgment here to anybody, but we all often tend to find ourselves, rather than doing what we're really uniquely brilliant at, what we were really created for, we overlook that because it's too easy. And after all, it has to be hard, right? It has to be a struggle. We couldn't just do something with grace and with ease and love it every minute of it, because after all, that wouldn't be work, and that's just not right, right? We've heard that so many times, and yet the truth of the matter is the core of who you are, the purpose that you were created for, is so simple, so easy. It's something that you do, that you say, that you live out in your life and in front of the people in your life every minute of every day. You do it on accident and on purpose. We've used as the example before. Do you find yourself saying to your kids, for example, clean up your room, clean up your room, clean up your room? And most people would say, well, hey, my purpose is not to just tell my children to clean up my room. But the secret behind that is, why is that important to you? There are some people that doesn't matter to. And especially if it really bothers you, if you walk into your child's room and you see it a mess and it really bothers you, there's a core to that. Often the real secret comes, an advantage, honestly, us as parents have, is that thing that we say so often that, the kids roll their eyes when they hear us say it because they've heard us say it so many times. Those are all clues. They're secrets to your unique brilliance. I got to tell you a quick story. For those of you that are listening live, Kathy and I, I just got back from Motivating the Masses, Speak and Write. And Kathy's actually at Global Leaders right now, as this show is airing live. And it was amazing to watch because Motivating the Masses is, definitely helps with personal development and things like that. But their intent is to not have church. But I got to tell you, when God shows up with a purpose. And I'm sorry, I'm not sorry, but for those of you that have different beliefs, I'm not imposing my belief on you. I want you to know that this is not me trying to proselytize you into a belief system, but simply to let you know that when the divine steps in, miracles happen. Things that we don't plan happen, and they are always better, greater, more than we could have ever imagined. And it is so fun to watch. On Sunday, the last day of Speak and Write 2016 this year, God showed up. I don't know how else to say it. For those of you that express it in other ways, that's fine. But from my understanding of the world, there is just no other way to say it other than that we were in the middle of a lesson and God showed up. And lives were changed. And in the end, whatever your gift is, being a great mom, being a prayer warrior, being the best business person that you can be, being the person that is the next great talk show host like Oprah was, not Oprah, you, but, you know, to fill that space that's empty now, that is amazing. And when you do that, I promise you, God will show up and lives will be changed. Just like Miss Duncan, that Oprah refers to, helped change the trajectory of her life from a young lady that was told all of her life that she was going to be a maid and things like that, to a lady whose reach has impacted the entirety of the world. You can change the world. I'd like to give a special shout out to my wonderful wife, Kathy Kidd. As I say often in the show at the end parts here, more than any sponsor we have for the show, Kathy is our sponsor. Now, yes, we work together, but I need you to understand the brilliance of this woman, her ability to research and tell you specifically not just what to do, but why it's going to work in such an impactful way that you will never be the same, your business will never be the same, and you will go places, do things, and make more money than you ever imagined possible. And I am so, so blessed and so grateful to work with her. And I am honored to always refer to her and to give her credit for being the primary sponsor of our show. If you want to find out more about some of the brilliant things Kathy's doing, you can go to bestsellersguild.com. It's a free Facebook group. You can join it. We would love to have you there. You can get to know Kathy and you can have your life radically changed by her just simply being amazingly who she is. And I want you to know, you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. There are no accidents. You're here on purpose. And the world needs you. Kathy and I are here to help you live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Until next time, have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.